John chapter 1. John chapter verse 29. Would you please stand and with me as we read the Word of God? Good to see you today. Good to see each one of you today. You know, it's great having visitors come back week after week. That's exciting. I'm glad to see visitors come to our church and keep coming back, keep coming back. We don't run them off. We keep them here. And that's good. That always makes me feel good, and they keep coming back. And it's a great church. It's a real church. These people are loving people. They're for real. And we don't apologize for the Bible. We love the Bible, and we're what we call Bible believers, and take a strong stand on it. And I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of love in this church, and it's real. And I thank God for it. And we're so thankful. For every visitor who comes to our church, we're so thankful that you come. God bless each one of you. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. And I'm going to read all the way to verse 36. If you'll notice in John 1, 29, the Bible says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, look what the words that John the Baptist, when he saw Christ, look what he cried out when he saw God's precious Lamb. He said, behold, and I don't believe, and I know I raised my voice, but Marie, I believe John the Baptist raised his voice. Annie, I don't believe he just said, behold. No, I believe John the Baptist raised his voice. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. By the way, remember, Jesus always was. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he said, he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is which he baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, look at verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus. You know what, folks? That's what everyone needs to do. Everyone needs to look upon Jesus. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, notice that statement again. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's interesting, Brother Mark. Two times, within 2 days, two's the number of witness, John the Baptist cries out and exclaims, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, behold, the Lamb of God has got five words. Now, you that preacher likes, I'm a numbers guy, it's called numerology. And five in the New Testament is grace. Five in the Old Testament is death. In the Old Testament, David took five stones. He only used one, but he killed Goliath. But he had five stones. Remember, there was Goliath that had other people he could come to. He was going to take them all out. But five in the New Testament is grace. Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. Interesting, though, in verse 29, there's 13 words. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 13 is a bad number. You see, it was bad for Jesus, but real good for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, a few weeks ago, you put this on my heart. Father, I really want to be a blessing. Unless you're with me today, Father, I cannot do nothing. Please, Father, Holy Spirit, fill me with all the things of God. Lord, let me proclaim this wonderful Lamb that John the Baptist did. Thank you for the Lamb of God. And Father, I pray that you come down and meet with us today. And Lord, if there's any here that doesn't know you as Savior, may their eyes really behold the Lamb of God today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You look at verse 29, you notice the words John the Baptist cries out both times in verse 29 and in verse 36. He cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." You know, when someone says "behold," what they want you to do, if the kids were, I'd say, sit up straight and pay attention. If Brother Bobby's preaching a message to the teenagers, he says, "Behold," what he's wanting to do is say, "All right, sit up straight, and I want your full attention." I noted this. When John the Baptist said, "Behold," he was saying, "Stop, look, listen, learn. Get the message I'm telling you. You need to fix your eyes on this man. He's something very special. Behold, stop what you're doing. Behold, look what you need to see. There's the Lamb that God sent from heaven. Behold, listen, you need to hear what this Lamb is going to tell you. The words from heaven itself." Now the question is here. Did you ever wonder why John the Baptist made this particular statement? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb." I mean, seeing Jesus both those times. Both times he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I mean, that's a great statement. And it's a true statement. How many can say that? Amen. Behold! Both days. As soon as he saw Mark, "Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb!" Now listen, I want you to get to think with me today. Why did he say that? He could have said a lot of other things that are true about Christ. He could have rightly said, "Behold, he that giveth eternal life." He could have said, "Behold, the giver of life." He could have said, "Behold, the creator of life." Can anyone say amen? Why did he say that statement? "Behold," I'm going to give you the answer at the end. So don't leave me. Put up with me for a few minutes. You'll be glad you did. "Behold, the Lamb of God." Why did he make that statement? He could have made all kinds of statements. He could have rightly said, "Behold, there's our advocate with the Father." 1 John 2:1. He could have said, "Behold, he's our all in all." How many would say he would have been true if he said that? He could have said, "Behold, the Almighty." Amen? He could have said, "Behold," like the Song of Solomon did. "Behold, there's the one that's altogether lovely." He could have said that. Could he have said it? He could have said, "Behold, there's the Amen of God." He could have said, "Behold, there's the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast." He could have said, "Behold, there's the Ancient of Days." He could have said, and he could have rightly said, "Behold, he's the arm of the Lord." Amen? He could have said, "There's the Alpha and the Omega." He also could have said, "He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the author of our faith and finisher of our faith." He could have said, "Oh, feast your eyes on him. He's the balm of Gilead that gives healing for our soul. He's that healing ointment from heaven." Amen? Brother Mark, but he didn't say those things. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." Why did he say that? He could have said all kinds of, he could have said this, "Behold, the beloved one of God." Could he have said that? He could have said, "Behold, there's a bishop of your souls." He could have said, behold, there's the branch. There's the bread of life. There's our bridegroom. He's the bright. There, behold, there's a bright morning star. Behold, there's the brightness of God's glory. Behold, there's the captain of our salvation. Can anyone say amen? He could have said, hey, behold, he's the cheapest among the thousands. He could have said, behold, he's the chosen of God. Behold, he's our comforter. He's our commander. I love this. Can anyone say amen? Behold, he's our cornerstone. Behold, there's our counselor, our mighty God. He could have said, behold, there's a creator of all things. Behold, there's a daysman. Behold, there's a dayspring. Behold, there's a day star. Behold, there's our deliverer. Can anyone say amen? But he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why did he do that? Behold, the Lamb of God. The first day he comes out. Behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sins of the world. The second day, behold, the Lamb of God. He could have said, instead of that, he could have said, behold, there's the door of the shepherd, the sheepfold. Behold, there's Emmanuel, God with us. How many believe that? He could have said, hello, behold, look, there's the express image of God. Behold, there's a faithful witness. Behold, he's faithful and true. Behold, there's the first and the last. Behold, he could have said, behold, there's a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad he was? He could have said, behold, there's a gift of God. And Jesus was the gift of God. He could have said, behold, there's the glory of God. Behold, there's a good master. Behold, there's our great high priest. Behold, he's the head of all things. Behold, he's the heir of our all things. He's our help. Behold, there's our helper. Behold, there's our hiding place. Behold, there's our great high priest. Behold, there's a holy child came down from heaven. He could have said those words and would have been correct in everything he said. Can anyone say amen? But he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, behold, look, look, listen, learn. Behold, the Lamb of God. But he could have rightly said, behold, there's the Holy One. Behold, there's the hope of Israel. Behold, there's a horn of our salvation. Can anyone say amen? He could have said, behold, there's the I Am of the Bible. That God told him, Moses, back in Exodus 3:14, tell him that I am had sent you. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No wonder Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. No wonder he said, I'm the bread of life. No wonder he said, I'm the living water. No wonder he said, I'm the resurrection of life. No wonder he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. He is the I Am of the Bible, isn't he? He could have said, Mark, he could have said, and rightly said, behold, there's our intercessor. There's our Jehovah. There's our Jesus. There's our judge. There's the just one. There's our king. There's the king of kings. There's a king of glory. Can anyone say amen? Could he have said those words? But he didn't, Brother Philip. He could have, and he would have been right to say it. But he said, behold. Why did he say that statement? Behold, the Lamb of God. He could have said, behold, the lawgiver has come. Behold, he's our life. Behold, the light of the world. Behold, our Lord and Savior. Behold, there's our master, our mediator, our Messiah, our mighty God. He could have said that and rightly said it. Can anyone say amen? But he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Hang with me, I'm almost done. It's all good stuff, though. Behold, the Lamb of God. He could have said, behold, he's our Passover. Yes. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 5, 7 did say Christ was our Passover. He is our Passover. He is that Passover lamb. Amen? He could have said, behold, there's our peace, and there's the Prince of Peace. There's our physician, the great healer. There's our prophet. There's our propitiation. That word propitiation is over there in 1 John. And he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation, it's a big word, hard to pronounce. For the preacher it is. It's kind of like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Propitiation means what Jesus did on the cross satisfied an outraged holy God over sin. That's what propitiation means. He was our propitiation. He satisfied God for our sins. He could have said that, though. That's our propitiation. Can anyone say amen? He could have said, there's our great high priest. He could have said, there's Rabbi. There's our Redeemer. There's our redemption. There's our refuge. There's our resurrection. There's our righteousness. There's our rock and rock of offense. There's our rock of ages. How many can say amen? He could have said all those words. He could have said, behold. And he could have said, behold, there's a root out of dry ground that's talked about in the Bible. Behold, there's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He could have said that and been right. He could have said, behold, there's our sacrifice. He could have said, behold, there's our sanctification. But he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say those other words? Every word I've given you so far is a description of Christ. And D, every word I've spoken points to Christ and is true, rightly said about Christ. Everything I've said about him so far. But John said, behold, the Lamb of God. He could have said, behold, there's the Savior of the world. How many believe Jesus is Savior of the world? He could have said, behold, there's the seed of Abraham. And he was. Behold, there's our shepherd. There's our chief shepherd. There's the great shepherd. Amen? Behold, there's Shiloh. Behold, there's a sower. Behold, there's a star. Behold, there's the Son of Righteousness. Behold, there's our surety. Boy, I'm glad I got, I'm glad in a world that's all messed up, I'm glad I got a surety in Christ. Isaiah 53:2 talks about, behold, there's that tender plant that Isaiah talked about in 700 years before he came. Amen? Behold, there's the bread of life. Behold, there's the truth. Behold, there's the vine. Behold, there's the way. He could say, hey, behold, there's the way. There's wisdom. There's wonderful. There's everlasting Father. There's the Prince of Peace. There he is. There's the Word. Behold, there's the Word. The Word. Because John 1:1 even said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, it's definitely taught, he was definitely the Word. He was God in the flesh. He was definitely Emmanuel, God with us. Can anyone say amen? Every one of those descriptive words, preacher, could have been said. But he didn't say those. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now let me tell you why, the reason he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Are you with me yet? John the Baptist's main purpose in life. John the Baptist had a purpose in life. By the way, did you know every one of us got a purpose in life? God's got a purpose for every one of us. Whether we fulfill that purpose, that's between us and God. But I'm going to tell you, every one of you have got a purpose in life. Every one of you. I don't care who you are. Oh, God couldn't use me. Oh, yes, he can. By the way, I'm going to share with you a few minutes about the little loaves of bread, the 5 loaves of bread tonight. I'm going to give you a few examples in the scriptures tonight in the New Testament. That little lad showed up with the lunch that his mom packed him. God used him. You never know when God's going to use you. You don't know how God's going to use you. We just got to be willing to be used for God. See, it's not how great you are, it's how available you are. I don't care how talented you are. There's two A's. It's availability. I know that. It's not how much you got. It's not how smart you are. It's how available you are. Because you say, I don't have nothing to offer. No, you never know what God's going to use. Hello? Say, God never, he'll use you if you'll let him use you. He used a poor lady with a widow's mite. Amen? Now notice, John the Baptist's main purpose in life was to point people to the Lamb of God who was sent down from heaven to sacrifice for their sins. His main purpose, his sole purpose, the most important purpose in John the Baptist's life. John the Baptist was conceived and born and raised for one purpose. To point people to the Lamb of God. That's right. Let's stay with me. 1 Peter 1:19 tells us that Jesus was the Lamb that was chosen before slain before the world began. God knew he was going to be the chosen Lamb. Christ was our chosen Lamb that David sang about. Now listen, stay with me. John the Baptist was the voice of that one crying out, making straight the way of the Lord. Remember the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, Tommy? 700 years before Jesus was born, the Bible prophesies about John the Baptist talking about telling people that Jesus was coming. Isaiah 40 verse 3 is a prophecy of John the Baptist pointing people to Christ. He was a voice in the wilderness. Now stay with me. I'm going to give you this teaching. We'll be done. The Jewish people were taught that God would never forgive sin without a slain lamb. Are you with me, church? If you are, say amen. Amen. Adam and Eve, they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Uh-oh, broke my glasses. Doesn't matter. I still can see, amen? Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. What did God do? They were naked. And the Bible says God came walking. God never rushes. He came walking in the cool of the day. He even waited till the sun dropped. And God granted. God thinks of everything, don't he, Bill? He really a great God, isn't he? And the Bible says God came walking in the cool of the day. And to make a long story short, when you study that book of Genesis, you'll see that God clothed Adam and Eve. They were naked, and he clothed them. Do you know how he clothed them? An innocent animal had to die. We believe it was a lamb. God, and the very first two people of the world, God slew a lamb to cover their sin. See, they sinned. Because they sinned, they saw their nakedness. See, sin reveals nakedness. How many are with me? And God covered their nakedness. God covered their sin by shedding blood of an innocent lamb that didn't do anything. Are you still with me? And he taught Adam and Eve the way man can come unto me, and the only way man can come, they must have a slain lamb to sacrifice. That's why when you read in Genesis chapter 4, Adam, remember they had two sons, Cain and Abel? Abel offered up a lamb. Why did Abel offer up a lamb, Genesis 4:4? Because God taught Adam and Eve, and then Adam and Eve taught their children. Hey, the way you approach God is through the lamb, through the lamb. Are you with me? But he did, but what did his brother do? He offered up the works of his hands. Did God accept that? No, he did not. No, God did not accept that. And so the only thing God accepted was the shed blood of the lamb. It's interesting. David sang about Abraham. Remember Isaac? God said, I'll provide a lamb. Remember Moses in the book? Remember Moses in Exodus chapter 12? What did God tell Moses and the people of Israel to do when they were taken out of Egypt? The Passover? They all had to slay a lamb without blemish. Exodus 12:5. How many are still with preacher? You need to get this. They all slew a lamb. And as you read your whole Old Testament, for 4,000 years, from Adam all the way up to Jesus, they always slew a lamb. Always. They always approached. The high priest once a year would take a lamb and offer that lamb for him and the people in the holies of holies. Are you with me, church? But the Bible teaches in the New Testament, Hebrews, that in Hebrews 9, it says the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away our sins. See, look up here. You got to get this truth. And I'm gonna go, then we're going to give you the climax here. See, all those lambs that God gave for Abraham, for Isaac, for Adam and Eve, for Abel, and for Moses and all the people, all down Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all those, all down through those 4,000 years, every time, Freddie, that high priest came into that temple, every time they offered up that lamb, that was a symbol, that was a type, that God was saying, someday I'm going to send the lamb from heaven. I'm going to send you my lamb from heaven that's going to forgive all sins. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And then what happened was this. Even though they were all in type, then Jesus was born. The real Lamb of God really came to suffer and die for our sins. Watch. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Look up here. They knew all about the lambs. They knew all about the blood sacrifices. For 4,000 years, the Jewish people, they offered up lambs. They knew all about the sacrifices. Get this. Get this. And Brother Coolidge, when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sins of the world. And by the way, it does. The reason he made that statement, Captain, was because, he could have made those other statements, but the reason he made that statement, because I noted this, he gave the announcement as a, Brother Mark, that was an official announcement from God. I'm telling you, John the Baptist said, I'm giving you an official announcement from heaven. I've been sent. I was even prophesied that I would be the one that would declare it. There is your sacrificial lamb. You look at him. Look at him. Behold him. Embrace him. He's from heaven. He's the lamb that God told us about for 4,000 years. Can anyone say amen? Oh, listen to me. Look at this last scripture and we'll close. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 27. See, Mark, when John, the reason John the Baptist said, behold, he was making an official announcement. See, Christ started his ministry then. Hello? How many are still with me? Think with me. He was an official starter. I don't want to make light, but I want you to see the importance of that statement. See, John the Baptist was fulfilling one of the most important things that God had for his life, to announce to the people, there is the Lamb of God. You've been putting up types for 4,000 years. Now this lamb that you need to get to heaven, that you need this lamb's blood that's going to forgive you of all your sins, That's the Lamb. That's the, behold the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb that's going to take away all the sins of mankind. His blood is what's going to atone for your sins forever. Embrace Him. Listen to Him. Behold Him. He's what you need. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. He's come down from heaven, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and now He's ready to die for us. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. God's Lamb. God's Lamb. Behold God's Lamb. Forget about the other lambs. This is God's Lamb. It's a profound, what I'm trying to tell you, son, that's a profound statement in the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 27. I want you to look at a verse with me. Look at verse 33. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that's to say a place of the skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture they did cast lots. Look at verse 36. And sitting down, what's the next words? They watched Him there. And sitting down, they watched Him there. They watched Him there. Brother Jack, what I'm trying to say is this. They were looking at the Lamb. And Brother Mike, the sad part is many of those that were watching and looking and beholding the Lamb of God didn't realize that He was the Lamb of God. Even though there was an official announcement by John the Baptist, behold, there is the Lamb of God. And as He hung on the cross and suffered, they beheld His sufferings. They saw the nails in His hands. They saw the nails in His feet. They saw the crown of thorns embedded in His brow. They saw the lashing of the whip. They saw His body mangled and whipped and bleeding all over. They saw it. They heard the seven statements that Christ made from the cross. The seven statements. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thou shalt be in paradise with Me. Remember the thief, the one that trusted Christ? Those two thieves represent the whole world. Those that trust Christ and those that reject Christ. Did both of them have an opportunity to go to heaven? Did both of them have the opportunity to be saved? But only one see, one received, one rejected. See, you're in that place. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're like that other thief. If you're Christ, come down from that cross and save us. He just wanted to save His own skin. See, but Christ was there. If Christ would have came down, He couldn't have saved anybody. Amen? Listen, they heard Him say, Father, they heard Him say, woman, those mother, behold thy son. They heard him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken Me? They saw it. They heard it. They watched Him there. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. They were beholding the Lamb and didn't even realize, many of them, that He was the Lamb of God. I hope you don't make the same mistake. Mark, how many people in the world today, even though the Bible cries out, behold the Lamb, how many people today don't behold the Lamb? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I thirst. It is finished. Hallelujah. In the ninth hour, sin debt's been paid. Nine's a finished work. I'm God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Can everyone say amen? And then He said, Father, I commit thy spirit into thy hands. Seven statements. They heard it. They saw the suffering. They were there from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock. They saw the darkness. And by the way, they felt the darkness. The whole world turned dark because the whole world's sins, all the sins of all eternity, were being judged that day on Calvary's cross. No wonder there was 13 words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Jesus drank the cup of all our sins, even though we weren't born yet. He drank those sins. He became a serpent. The Bible says, for 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God had made him to be sin, for who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us. He didn't know no sin, but he did it for us. Behold the Lamb. Don't miss the Lamb. Down through the ages, even though the words still cry out, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. How many people miss it? Do we see the Lamb? Do we see those nail-scarred hands? Do we see that beaten, riddled body for us? You know, if we would see it, I think it'd affect our daily lives. Do we hear him cry out in anguish? I think if we did, I don't think you and I would cry out complaining so much. Oh, God, you don't love me. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. When you have a pity party, you know, there's always three people that show up for the pity party. Just three. Me, myself, and I. When your three pity party people show up, that's another one. That's a good one, isn't it? When you have that pity party and you're saying, oh, God, you don't love me. God, you don't care. You just go back to the cross. Listen to the words that Jesus cried out. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You never forsook Daniel in the lion's den. You didn't forsake Noah in the ark. I'm your only begotten son. Why did you forsake me? You had to. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to sin. Sin had to be atoned. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb that's shed for you. Listen to me. And they stood and watched him there. They heard the cries. They saw the Lamb. They saw. And there, God's crying out, behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb of God! Forget about all those other things. See, Tommy, you've preached on a lot. It's ABL. People try to get to heaven because I'm a church member, because I do good works. No, forget about all those false sacrifices that you think God's going to look up to. Amen. What's that statement he always makes? I don't eat, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do. And they'll say, well, God, I deserve to go to heaven because I'm a good person. You don't deserve to go anywhere but hell. All the sacrifices that people try to put up to God to say, God, here's why I should be worthy to go to heaven. And John the Baptist was saying, forget about all those sacrifices that men have made. There's only one sacrifice that means anything. And it's God's sacrifice. It's God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. See the Lamb of God. See the Lamb of God. He's the one that came for you. He's the one that's dying for you. He's given his life so you can have life. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. They missed it back then. And people today in 2010, they're still missing it. And we as Christians need to cry out every day, behold the Lamb. Don't miss the Lamb. Because if you miss the Lamb, you missed what God sent for you. For the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Behold the Lamb. He cried out, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Forget about anything in your life. Behold the Lamb. Nothing's important. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Today, I don't know what you got planned, and it doesn't matter. The most important thing in your life today is that you see God's Lamb for you. Behold the Lamb. If you've never seen it for you, you need to see it today, because those people sat there and watched it and they didn't get it. They missed what God brought to them. No wonder John kept crying out, behold the Lamb. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious Lamb of God. Help us, Father. Help us to behold him. Help us to see him. Help us to hear him. Help us to listen to him. Help us to know him. Help us to share him with others. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many people could say for sure, preacher, I know for sure that there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I asked Christ to save my soul, and I know I got the Lamb. I'm a child of God. I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise a hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put him down. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I never really understood about how Christ loved me so much and how he was sent just from God, just for me. And Lord, preacher, today I need to ask the Lord in my heart. I want to get that Lamb as my Savior. I'm seeing him today for the first time like I should see him. And preacher, I want to, now that I'm seeing him for real, I want to take him as my Savior right now. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Who'd say, I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Preacher, I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. I'm not certain. Before I pray, how many Christians are and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I am saved, but I've not beholding the Lamb too much lately. I've kind of taken my eyes off that Lamb. Yes. Who else? Yes. 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 Who else? Be honest. I've taken my eyes off that Lamb. I've got caught up in the world, and I need to get my eyes focused back on that Lamb again. He cried out. He gave an official announcement from heaven. That's why John the Baptist didn't say the Redeemer. That's why he didn't say our Sanctifier. That's why he didn't say the Prince of Peace. He was all those things. He was given an official announcement from heaven. Behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If you want your sins forgiven, every one of them, you need to behold the Lamb. It's the Lamb, God's Lamb, and only God's Lamb that can get you to heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lamb. Help us. Help us to focus on that Lamb. Lord, we get so taken away from other things. Oh God, if we could just put our eyes on Jesus, behold that Lamb, I believe we could get through a lot of things in life if we just put our eyes on him. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, Holy Spirit of God, bring conviction. And Father, if there's Christians here that just need to get closer to you, help them to rededicate their life today and say, I'm beholding the Lamb and I'm going to get back with God. People need to be baptized. I pray they'll come and get baptized today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you're saved, you've never been baptized, you want to be baptized, let's stand. I know there's someone supposed to be baptized. You come right now. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you've been saved and you need to follow in believers' baptism, you come. If you want to come for any other reason, you come. Whatever God's got in your heart, you come right now. What page are you on, Mark? The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Put your eyes on him. Watch, learn, listen. He's the Lamb of God that God sent forth. Behold the Lamb of God. Look to him. Seek him. Find him. Know him. And they watched him there. They watched him, but they didn't. They watched him, they saw him, but they didn't know he was truly the Lamb of God. Yet John told them, there is the Lamb of God. Every head bowed, no one looking around. I'm going to close in just 1 minute, I promise you. I'm just curious. The Lord put this in my heart. If you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, but you've never followed in believer's baptism, the Bible says after you get saved, then you should follow Christ in believer's baptism. If you're here and you've trusted Christ, you know for sure you're saved. You've asked Christ to save your soul, but you've never been baptized. The first step after being saved is an act of obedience. What it does is it's obedience to God. Yes, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And it's an outward going profession of faith. When you get in that water, I am a Christian. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Baptism doesn't save you. But baptism does make you right with God, gives you right with God, because it's the first commandment that God gives after you're saved. Be baptized because you're saved. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. How many are here? I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I promise. I give you my word. But I'm just curious. How many here have trusted Christ as their Savior but have never been baptized? Would you raise your hand? Yes. I see. Who else? Anyone else? I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. God bless you. God bless you. Let me encourage you. We have robes in the back. We have towels. We have ladies here to assist, or men if you're a man. I've got one of my preacher boys back there ready to baptize today if someone comes forward. There was an older man that got saved yesterday. He was supposed to get baptized. I don't know if he's back there or not. But we're going to sing one more verse. You know what? The Lord came back today. Wouldn't you want to look at God in the face and say, man, I was obedient and got baptized? Wouldn't you want to say, God, I did what you told me to do? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. We're going to sing one more verse. Father, help those that have been baptized to get... Lord, help those that have been saved to get baptized. They'll never grow until they do. Lord, I know you want us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people don't grow until they become faithful. You have to be faithful. You have to take the first steps first. And that's how you grow in grace. And Lord, when we don't do the first thing, we're in disobedient. Help us, Father. Help us to take those first steps that we can do larger steps in the future. Lord, I know there was one or two hands that went up at least that said they were saved. And I pray today they'll get baptized. Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.